This podcast is a ministry of Christian Life Center in Berwyn, Illinois. For more information, go to www.berwynag.org.
Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Oh, let's read it again. Can we read it again? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. There's a promise in there that you can take to the bank there in the last line. There's a promise that you can underline. You can highlight it. You can type it out on an index card and put it on your refrigerator and claim it, that his faithfulness continues through all generations. I know some of you are concerned about generations. But let's take a look at the very first word there, shout for joy. The King James Version says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When we think of joyful noise, for years we was always making fun of people who can't sing, you know, and say, well, they're making a joyful noise. This term really isn't for the singing impaired. It's not really this making a joyful noise. It's a term that means to lift up a fanfare, to give a homage shout, to surrender in absolute fanfare to the Lord. And if you are a football fan, you kind of understand what shouting is. You know, what is it that possesses a man, a grown man, to paint his chest a specific set of colors and to stand in the freezing cold and scream bloody murder for a team that he probably has no money on, or after buying a ticket, now he has no money left to put on the team, and just scream just out of just rabid fanhood. You know, he's just a maniac for his team. What is it that, well, we don't know what that's like in Chicago, and we blame... We blame the Tribune. We blame a lot of people, the Wurtzes. So, what does it mean to shout to the Lord? You know, so many times in church, we've grown up in traditions that have told us that we need to just kind of keep it together, and we need to be quiet. But my estimation is that the people of God have been quiet too long. We've been whispering our testimonies in hushed tones inside of the four walls of the church when we need to be bringing them out into the world around us to declare the wonders of our God. We've been taking shots for loving God with all of our heart by the people who are out there. We've been having every single motivation of our heart as we try to seek God questioned by the people that are out there. But in here, in these walls, we shout. In these walls, we lift up our voice. In these walls, we surrender ourselves with absolute shouting. Now, sometimes people think, oh, it's disrespectful. Notice the scripture here tells us, commands us even, shout for joy. There are 8 biblical words for praise, and this is one of them. The word for praise that lifts us up to shout and to give a fanfare of homage to the Lord, to just cry out a joyful noise. Have you ever been in a meeting, maybe it's even not too long ago, where you were gathered together and the presence of God just began to fill in that place? You know, I love when the people of God begin to pray and there's that hum. You know what I'm talking about? The hum in church when there's like, you hear that, you know? Yeah, there are a number of sounds in church that are pleasing to God. I believe this is one of them. Get my microphone on there. Can you hear that? I believe that's a good sound. I believe that's a sound of praise. When the preacher says, let's turn, and everyone turns, I believe that's an act of praise. It's saying, God, we're hungry, we've come. When my wife says, honey, come to the table, I want to go there. I mean, I'm all for it. I'm like, yeah. Sometimes she'll get me excited. I say, come on in here. And I come in there, and then she'll say, set the table. It's a trick. It's a trick she uses sometimes. Honey, we're ready to eat. And I come in there, and I go, but there's nothing on the table. Yeah, grab a couple plates and some silverware and a couple cups and help out in here. And I with joy, set the table. No, most of the time I'm pretty crabby, but knowing that if there's no plate, there's no food, that is my motivation. And when we come before the presence of the Lord and someone says, turn in your Bible to such and such a verse, and we begin to turn, there's that salivation. It's like the dinging of the bell for Pavlov's dog. We begin to salivate over what it is that God is going to show us. And when he says here in this passage to shout to the Lord, that's another kind of sound that's pleasing to the Lord. There's the hum of prayer. I like that. There's the sound of the papers, you know, turning, the pages turning. I like that. There's the sound of others praying for others. I like that sound too, don't you? When you hear in the background a couple saints, dear saints, gathered around somebody and their hands on their shoulders saying, God help them, be with them, give them strength. You know, you hear those words. Over. In fact, it's even more fun when they're in every corner of the building and they're praying over each other and over their week. And that's a wonderful sound. But then there's those times when we're together where we may be singing a song, and I like singing, but where we're singing a song and suddenly you just feel like you just need to just let her rip. You know what I'm talking about? There is something spiritual about shouting. Not when you're yelling at your kids. There's nothing spiritual about that. But there's something spiritual about shouting, because shouting comes from more than your brain. We sing songs. We sang songs this morning. We read another man's lyrics off the screen here. We followed along with the thoughts of another person. In some cases, we read the words of the Word of God. And those are powerful, but they're all cognitive. They're all in our intellect. But there's something that comes deep from within. And sometimes it can only be handled with a shout. When God begins to move on the inside of us, and then there's this joyful shout. I don't mean shouting in anger. I mean shouting in surrender. And there's just times in worship where you just release from down here who you are. Oh! You practice it at home. Just want to cry out from your very being. And biblical praise often, not always, but often involves volume. The same God who said, let all the earth be silent before him, the same God who said, be still and know that I am God, also said, shout. So you just need to know the times and the temperature, right? Some days it's a shouting day, and some days it's a silent day. How many of you know that today's a shouting day? You heard all those testimonies. God is doing some things. That's worth of a shout, I think. This is about celebratory gladness, joyful songs. There is no uncertain voice. In other words, sing out with the kind of joy and the shouting voice that brings liberation. It's the sound of the soul set free. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Notice the focus is not just that the people of God shout, but that this would be contagious and that it would carry across the whole globe. There will come a day when the sky will split open and my Jesus will descend, and every eye, the scripture says, will see him. I don't know if it'll be on CNN or Fox News or on every channel, but every eye will see him. And as he descends from heaven to come and gather his people, there will rise up no sweet whisper. There will rise up a shout of the people of God. What will it be like if you're there in the middle of Wrigley Field watching the Cubs lose again? Amen. I had to get one. That was one for the Cubs fans and one for the Sox fans. You know, that was equal. And you're there in the middle of Wrigley Field with the vine and the ivy, the friendly confines. And as I saw, all of a sudden, the sky splits and Jesus begins his return. And the believers, whether they be many or few, will stand up on their chairs and lift their hands to heaven and cry out to Almighty God. It won't make a difference who's at the bat. It won't make a difference what the score is or who's pitching. They will stand up and a collective shout will rise up out of that place. And it will not be confined to that little place on the north side. No, it will go all throughout the earth that we know it. It will rise. It'll be the biggest wave offering to God that ever happened. Shouts of joy will go all throughout the earth. There will be people from Africa and people from Asia and people from the Ukraine and all kinds of people from South America. And there will be this tremendous shout. What will it sound like when every soul that's ever heard the name of Jesus and put their faith in Jesus, what will it sound like when Jesus returns? Whew, wow, just think. It will be deafening. Now, I like noise. I'm a hockey fan. I don't like the United Center, but I like the old stadium. Yeah. And when you were standing in that old stadium and they would crank up that old Hammond B3, and the land of the free, and those old timbers would start to rock in that place, and people were screaming, and tears were falling out of the eyes of the vet, and the home of the... And all of a sudden, the whistles would start in that place, and the other team would quake in their skates. You think I'm kidding? They would quake, and that place would just rock. And then the Canadian national anthem. And you couldn't hear anything except that anthem. There was not a sound in that place. Oh, Canada, our home. It's like, it was always a riot. That place is a riot to be in. I remember seeing people fall out of the third floor during the song. Ah! They got worked up at that place. And they didn't even know the Lord, most of them. What will it be like when the people of God suddenly realize that all their hopes and dreams have been fulfilled in that moment? Whew. Sometimes people say, why do you get excited? You're not in heaven yet. I agree. I know that. You don't have to tell me. But when a little bit of heaven comes down and kisses my life, then suddenly I get excited and I want to shout. The kingdom of God is this glorious celebration. It's a party. It's no small soiree. This is a big, glorious party. And when God comes to call that party, our hearts and our lives rise up in song to see him. I love to watch children, little ones. Not, I don't want to watch your children, but let me be perfectly clear. You watch your children, and I'll watch from afar. But you watch a little child. See, I grew up in a denomination where I actually got saved in a non-denominational church where they taught us that dancing wasn't of God. They said that the dancing was led to sin, you know, all that gyration, you know. Elvis ruined it for all of us, you know. So, and there may be some truth to that. Oh, but all I know is you take your little two-year-old, three-year-old, you put them in the middle of the living room and turn on some music, Christian or otherwise, and all of a sudden they go. Okay, maybe not that, but... They jump, right? They sing. Do you remember when you were a child and you just sang songs that didn't make sense? Huh? You just made them up right on the fly right there. Remember that? I am making a mud pie. Gonna make me a mud pie, mud pie, mud pie. Gonna make this mud pie so good my brother eats it, eats it, eats it. You remember that? You just made. There was a freedom and a levity on the inside of the spirit. Some of us are so somber, saints. Why does it look like it hurts when we pray to our Heavenly Father? Oh, God, it hurts so much to come before you this morning. Prayer is such a painful, painful experience, oh, God. Where's the joy? We should just be doing this. Hey, how are you doing? Good to see you. How you doing? The presence of God is here. Somebody shout when the presence of God comes in. Somebody get the glory of God on them and just shout out. Sometimes I just want to scream. In fact, sometimes I do scream. Sometimes I have to go all the way down into the, what we call the dungeon of the church, the place where the dirt floors are, back in the corner right underneath the sound equipment over there where nobody can hear me. All the rest of the staff's offices are over there. And I go down in that little room down there, and I cry, oh, God! You don't pray that prayer? If you need to know the rest of that prayer, then you've never prayed it. Because that is the whole prayer right there. That's it. There's no amen. There's no thus saith the Lord at the end of it. This is it. Sometimes you just got to shout and get it out. See, God gives his people joy. What happened? You used to be that little child dancing in the middle of the living room floor. You didn't care who was watching you. You didn't care. What happened? Let me tell you what happened. You got old. I don't mean that. I don't mean that physically. Your knees still work, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting there. Your feet still work. And you may even dance other places. We're not going to talk about that this morning. But when we get into the presence of the Lord, all of a sudden you're stiff-kneed and stiff-necked. You got old, not in your body, but in your spirit. Your spirit says, I don't want anything uncomely. David's attitude was a little bit different. I will yet be even more undignified. If you think my dancing is bad, you should hear my singing. That's what David was saying. We need to celebrate God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. You see, God gives his people joy. The promise of God is that he gives us joy. Joy that gives us strength. Joy that is inexpressible and full of glory. Joy that comes as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy that comes from knowing what it is that God has done for you. There's a lot to be joyful about in the Christian life. And sometimes you just got to shout to let it out. And let me tell you something else. The enemy comes to rip off your joy. He will do whatever he can to turn that smile into a sourpuss. Because this is no testimony. This will not bring people to Jesus. Oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm not happy about it. You know, don't point, but you know somebody like that? I was a dear brother who loved God. There's a great old-time pastor, a friend of mine. Whenever we would kneel down to pray, this is how he began every prayer. Oh, God. I was like, oh, man. That's coming from his ankles, brother. He reached down on the inside, was digging around there. Oh, God, there it is. Oh, man. You better tuck that away because the devil wants that. The devil wants to steal the joy that's on the inside of your heart. Because if you are miserable, you won't make converts to Christianity. I'm not saying you have to fake it, although sometimes you do have to fake it in order to feel it. You know, there's days when I wake up and quite honestly, I don't feel loving towards my wife. I'm just being honest with you. It's no reflection on her. It's more of a reflection on me. And I do sometimes just have to be loving, whether I feel like it or not. You know why? Because my feelings aren't in charge of my life. My faith is in charge of my feelings. So my faith grabs a hold of my feelings and said, snap out of it. And my feelings go, but this is how we feel. My faith says, you want a hanky? Just be loving. See, we've gotten to the point in our society where we think we can just be however we are, and we say, that's the way it is. But that's not right. That just means your feelings are in charge of you. That means you are an undisciplined person, and you are out of control. You know, joy is an act of discipline. Happiness is the ability to be happy. You know, there's this whole idea that your whole frontal lobe of your brain, we're just learning about the things that happen in the frontal lobe of your brain. When you determine that you will be happy, do you realize you get happy?
Amen.
That's true. I don't know the science behind it. I just know that when he says shout to the Lord, if I do shout to the Lord, I feel like shouting to the Lord.
Amen.
Right? If he says shout to the Lord and I don't feel like shouting to the Lord. Now you figure it out. It's a mystery wrapped in an enigma. The enemy comes to steal my joy because he wants to make me miserable, but also he knows that if I'm miserable, I won't serve the Lord with a great enthusiasm that I have. I serve not out of joy, but out of duty. Oh, that's not preaching now. That's meddling right there. Because there's a lot of Christians who no longer serve the Lord out of joy. They serve out of duty. Why are you going to church? Well, it's Sunday. Bad reason. Why you go to church? Because I love God. And I'm going to be with people who are just nuts, as nuts about Him as I am. Same reason that Bears fans hang out with Bears fans. Bears fans don't fellowship with Packer fans. Because I know this is going to be on the podcast, I'm just going to say, for Pastor Ryan, his Seahawks got the stuffing beat out of him yesterday, didn't they? That's okay, Pastor Ryan, we know how it is. Because we've been sitting and watching games for a couple weeks ourselves. When your joy is stolen, then you don't want to serve. And when you don't want to serve, then you may go through the motions of service, but you're not giving your whole heart to the Lord. You think about Jesus. It says that he went to the cross for the joy set before him. Even Jesus, the Son of God, could only face the cross because he knew the joy was coming on the other end of it. Think about it. You say, oh, God doesn't want you to be happy. Poppycock. God wants you to be full of joy. How many times in the Bible does it say, do this so that your joy may be full?
Yes.
Heck, Paul even says, do this so that my joy will be full. Right? God wants us to be full of joy. And he wants us to express it with a shout. Now, the second part of this, listen what it says again. It says, shout for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. So the second thing is not just the ability to shout, but the ability to serve or worship. In fact, isn't it interesting that the NIV translates this worship, but the King James Version translates it serve. What's going on there? Somebody make a mistake? Actually, it's beautiful. The word means both and. That our service is an act of worship unto the Lord. Even in the Old Testament, this was true. But how much more now, those of us who understand Romans 12:1, where it says that our whole lives should be living sacrifices unto God, how much more should we understand that there is no separation between service and worship? Man, if you want to get me mad, just talk to me about the song service in the church. There ain't no song service in the church. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the portion of our service that is dedicated to singing songs to the Lord. I understand what you're talking about. But there's no song service. There's worship and the word. That's all there is in the service. We worship and somebody says, why do you worship for so long? Because I'm trying to get myself ready for heaven, because I'm going to for all eternity be singing to God Almighty about the wonders of Him, and I'm trying to get myself ready. And by I believe that the experiential part of being in the presence of God, oh, here we're right on my hobby horse now, the experiential part of being in the presence of God, that act of worship is all about being in His presence and being touched by Him. When I give to Him, He gives back to me. Now, do I dare share it like this? Let me share this. This is maybe a little crude. I apologize for the crudeness of this. But there's a time, there's a place where I'm giving to my wife. I'm surrendering myself to my wife sexually. Okay. I didn't say imagine it. I said, I'm just telling you about it. There's a part where I'm giving myself to her that suddenly I don't know if I'm giving or receiving. Hello? Yes. Hello? All the married folks said?
Amen.
So be it. Right? And all the singles said, we don't know what you're talking about. And that's the way God intended it. It's a mystery. So there's a point where you're giving out and suddenly you realize that in all of your giving, you are receiving. The same thing happens in worship. Right? Same thing happens in worship. You're giving yourself to God. God, take my heart, my soul, my strength, my mind, everything. I give you everything. All of a sudden you realize something's coming back. The Lord begins to minister back to you. It's a wonderful experience. Now, if you say, oh, Lord, just give it to me, that becomes selfish, doesn't it? You're not giving to Him, so you're not receiving back. I'm not trying to be crude here. I'm trying to be explanatory, okay? So we understand that this giving thing, giving to God, worship the Lord, and it doesn't make a difference what you're doing. It doesn't make a difference if you're mentoring a child and teaching them how to read the Scriptures, or teaching a Sunday school class, or handing groceries out to somebody who needs them, or laying hands on the sick, or whatever you're doing, or intercessory prayer, whatever you're doing. If you're worshiping the Lord, if you're serving Him in some capacity, you are worshiping Him. You don't have to say, oh, I can't wait to worship. You are worshiping Him. In fact, you should be so tangled up that you can't tell where worship starts and work begins. That's the way it is. That's people say, oh, I don't want to go to the work day. Well, you're missing out on one of the greatest acts of worship. And I'm not promoting a worship work day. We don't have one for months. But I'm just saying, well, it's a great act of worship. Lord, you know, somebody says, is this good enough for me, but not for God? Oh, yeah, it's God's house. I'll put another coat on. Right? Isn't that how it is? You start thinking, you're like, oh, that's good enough. I don't think anybody will ever see that. And then sudden, the Lord will say, really? It's my house. Okay, Lord. Right? How should God's house look? Oh. So, worship, serve. And we do it with the joy of God. You know, God can't bless that sourpuss Christianity. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because dead churches are filled with sourpuss Christians. Right? This looks like they've been sucking on green persimmons their whole life. Even the offering, when it comes around, God says He wants His portion, but He wants you to give it cheerfully. I think that's pretty bold of God, don't you? Listen, yeah, open your wallet. Yeah, no, not that bill, the bigger one. Yeah. Yeah, give me that one and smile when you do it. Come on, that's a scripture. Do you know what it says? 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, you want to read about it. So He says, give me that, and then smile when you give it to me. Yeah. And if you give it to me cheerfully, I'll bless you. Yeah. But if you don't give it to me cheerfully, then I'm not going to bless you so much. Why is that? Well, because God wants us to find joy in being obedient to Him. In my Sunday school class, we were talking about what happened. Jesus is filled with joy when He hears that he blesses His Father in following baptism. Immediately what happens there, listen to the scripture, it says, and so He left that, you know, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And then the devil comes to Him and says, if you are the Son, what happened? God said, oh, you're my Son, I'm so blessed. And then the devil comes to steal His identity. He tries to take his identity, tries to snatch it away. Well, what is it that, this is good preaching right here. This is good preaching right here. What is it that he's trying to do? Jesus hasn't done diddly squat yet. All he did was get baptized. Not healed anybody, didn't preach a sermon yet, didn't do anything. He's trying to steal the potential away from the Son of God by questioning the promise there. How much more so you and I, we as the people of God, we should be following after God, giving cheerfully, serving cheerfully. When the Holy Spirit comes upon people, all throughout the book of Acts it says, and they were filled with joy. See, when the Holy Spirit comes, people get happy. When the offering's taken, people get happy. When people are growing in the Holy Spirit, they get happy. There's all kinds of joy that's all over us as we follow the Lord. And it doesn't make any difference if, you know, and we are really learning this, I think, at Christian Life Center. Kudos to you. We are learning that it doesn't make a difference how we serve, because we're learning to trust each other. We're starting to become a team. It's becoming exciting, isn't it? I don't have to do what you do. I can do what I do. And I trust you to do what you do. And I'm praying for you to do the things that you do. I'm just doing what I do. And they're just trusting the both of us to do the things we do so they can do the things they do. And this team is coming together. And as the team comes together, we begin to trust one another. And as we trust one another, things happen. Today, I was trying to think, what happened this week? What happened? Well, we finished a new classroom downstairs. It looks beautiful. We got a new van this week. You know, praise the Lord. Somebody who has children needs to say praise the Lord. If your kids are riding around an old one, we called that old van May. It may make it, may not, you know. So we got a new van. Got new exciting things happening in the children's church that I'm not at liberty to discuss with you people. It's below your pay grade. But your children will be wowed by it. We're excited. Whether it's serving the poor a hot meal or distributing clothes or working on the food pantry or painting a widow's fence in the neighborhood or working with seniors to get their blood pressure checked, whatever it is that we're doing it as unto the Lord. And as we do that, there's no dotted line that says here's where work stops and here's where worship begins. If we do it rightly, then worship and work are the same thing. And we find fulfillment in that. We see we're divinely created to work. Hello. I said we were divinely created to work. Not a single amen. Amen. Wow. That took me back when you didn't say amen. We're divinely created. God said, and there's Adam. Now you got a job. That's what he said. Go subdue the earth. Get busy working. You say, well, I don't want to work. Good. You won't fulfill the work of God in your life. You'll just be screwed up the rest of your life. Well, get a job. Find a job that you can do, and whatever your hands find to do, whether listen with Colossians chapter 3. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. And let the word dwell in you richly, and teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts, and whatever you do, whether it be in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. In other words, word and deed, wisdom and word and worship all flow together so that God blesses the work of our hands. The third thing it tells us in this psalm is that we have to know something. We have to know that we're standing on firm ground. This word to know means to have firm footing underneath you. So listen what it says here in verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. Know that the Lord is God. He's God over the earth. He's God over my life. He's God over the earth and all its resources. He's God over all the supply in my life. Everything that means something to me means something to him. Ooh. Oh, don't let the devil steal that from you. Everything that means something to you means something to him. Everything that's meaningful to you means something to him. Don't you let the devil sell you that tripe that says that only some things are good. He loves you. When that dollar store toy breaks, you know, I know you cheap parents out there buying them dollar store toys. I know how it is. I was a cheap parent myself. I used to give dollar store gifts. that kid's, you give them that wonderful dollar store gift and they go, wow, look at this. Till the legs or the wheels fall off it, right? Right? And then they bring it back to you. Right? You love that child. You don't want to see them being brokenhearted. Never mind the fact you can go buy them another one for $1. You don't want to see their heart broken. And so you hug them, you hold them, you tell them, listen, let's see if we can glue it. Let's see if we can make it. You just got to be a little more gentle with these things. They're only from the dollar store. You don't want to see them broken heart. God is a better parent than you'll ever be. He cares about the things that are important to you. You say, well, you know, I haven't always experienced that in my life. I completely understand that sometimes we don't walk in that, but understand that God loves you. He cares about the things you care about. What is dear to your heart is dear to His. Those people who care about you and who you care about, He cares about as well. Those things that you are facing, you're not alone. God is there with you. The Lord is God. You need to know that. You need to know that God is not only the God of your life, but the God of your future, that your dreams and your desires and your destinies, that your plans and your purposes and your predicaments are all within the capacity of God to not only know about, but also to affect and to change. Yes. Amen. Know that the Lord is God. He made us. We are His. It's not my life. It's His life. Yes. He's given it to me. I appreciate the fact that I have life, but He has given me life so that I can give it back to Him. God is God over our church. He's over its future, over its growth, over its finances, over the miraculous power that He wants to flow through here. Listen, the sower sows seeds in hope. Listen to me. The sower sows seeds in hope. Hope is not in the seed. Hope is in the sower. Yes. You understand what I'm saying? Yes. That knowing that God wants to do something means that I take action based upon what I believe He is. That's called, what do we call that? It's a five-letter word, I think. Faith. Faith, right. That's five letters, right? Faith. Because He says this, I will do this. I will give that. I will love this one. I will help this one. I will pray. I will fast. Whatever it is. Because He says it, I take Him at His word. And hope is embodied on the inside of who I am. The seed by itself cannot grow a harvest. It needs all other circumstances to be just right, doesn't it? The dirt, the moisture, the sunlight. All these other things have to be quality around it. So, when we pursue God, knowing that God is the master over all of our domain, our future, and all the things that are concerning us, if we know that He is God, that the Lord is God over us, then we can trust Him to know that there'll be enough light and enough water and that the dirt will have enough nutrients so that we'll get a harvest out of the seed that we give. It's important for us to do that, for us to recognize that. Anyone who comes to God, Hebrews 11, verse 6, must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, if He's not going to be a rewarder, then this whole thing is a farce. I don't say that lightly. If He is not a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, then we are wasting our time to a God who doesn't care. But if He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, then there's something to shout about in this verse. He made us. I can't remember the name of this place. They used to give out a list of all the aftermarket parts for my 69 Firebird. Warshawski's. How many of you remember Warshawski's in Chicago? Oh, come on, give the God glory. Boy, there was some junk at Warshawski's, wasn't there? You would buy some stuff on there and like, there's no way this fits on a 69 Firebird. You know, like, you need to try to turn it around and there was some junk there. They had some junk. I don't know if they're still around or not. I doubt it. Are they? Still selling junk, huh? Still selling junk. You could buy aftermarket parts. See, that aftermarket part, that's a fancy word for saying GM wouldn't make this for your car. But it was not worthy for GM to stamp this out. So now you have to buy it from somebody else, and now you have to glue it to your car. That's true. Fender, you know, whatever. You know what they are. the aftermarket parts. I used to buy those things, and they never fit, and they never worked just right because they weren't created by the person who made the car. He, God, doesn't fit us with aftermarket junk. He made me. He knows what. Now, I'm not all that I ought to be, but God is making me into what I should be based upon the manufacturer's specifications. Every little specification of the manufacturer. He knows exactly what fits. When I met my wife, it took me a while to figure it out, but I realized that God had crafted a woman just for me according to the manufacturer's specifications. I didn't have to go to Warshawski's to find a wife. Thank you, Jesus. What kind of a wife would you find at Warshawski? But something that didn't quite work, something that didn't quite fit together. That would be horrible, wouldn't it? It's like, okay, well, it's, you know, it would be. Man, oh, we finish each other's sentences. She says, honey, what'd you do? Yeah, I did it, hon. You did it already? Yes, I already did it. How did you know? Well, I knew you were going to say this to me because we've been married for 8 billion years. We think alike now. She has brainwashed me. No, I'm going to tell you, this week I came downstairs and I don't know what possessed me, probably the Holy Spirit. But anyway, came into the kitchen, I started doing the dishes, and I'm loading the dishwasher and cleaning up stuff and just cleaning up the kitchen. And she comes down, she goes, oh, honey, that really blesses me that you cleaned up the kitchen for me. And I thought, snap, why did I do that? I don't even... I don't even know how come that happened. I've been snookered. I've been brainwashed. No, God creates somebody just for me. And now, I mean, we're just hitting our stride. We're starting to think like each other. We're starting to correct each other and finish each other's sentences. We're just really in that great place in our relationship where we're really fitting together. Because God who made us also for each other. Now, can I just say, not to the same degree, but you deserve each other. You, Christian life, I don't mean that in a negative way. Look at it. Look, God created you to be here. That's the only explanation. That's all I got. Look around. I mean, they're from every background. You know, just, you know, up in the people in the right? And the college grads and the folks like me got a good enough degree. You know what I'm talking about? It's like all across the board in here. Right? Singles and parents. And I mean, just think about this. We could start an argument if we just thought about it, that we would never, ever agree on anything in here. Really. It's a miracle of God that you're sitting there and you even agree with half the stuff that I say. It really is. You know, sometimes I don't even agree with the stuff that comes out of my mouth. That's the God's honest truth. If you got old tapes, I'd like to buy a couple of those back. You think I'm kidding? He made us. We are His. We are His. I am yours, God. I am thine, O Lord. I've heard thy voice. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice. There's no part saved for me. 100% given over to God. See, God can do something powerful through absolute surrender. Abject poverty of spirit. Giving yourself completely and totally to Almighty God. Quickly here, last thing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Oh, the church needs to enter. Gratitude is the first step into the presence of God. Adoration and praise are the first steps into the presence of God. Some of you left here last week and thought that little dab on your forehead was going to change your prayer life. Listen, you're going to change your prayer life. You found out, some of you, in fact, the Lord spoke to me during worship. I want to get into this, but the Lord spoke to me during worship that some of us thought the oil was going to pray for us. No. The oil is just encouragement to get into the presence of God. You'll find the anointing when you get in there, but you can't get into the presence of God unless you take the first step and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. You can thank him for the stuff he's done. You can thank him for the things he's even going to do. You can thank him for his great nature. His love endures forever. You can thank him for who he is and what he wants to do. You can thank him that his thoughts towards you are ever, 100%, always a blessing and good for you. There's not one, he's the only person I know that at least at one point in his day doesn't think, I'd like to clock that Pastor Dave. Other people don't have eternally good written all over them, but God is eternally good.
Amen.
What happens if the church follows the prescription and begins to shout, begins to know, right? Begins to pray. What happens? There's a release of spirit. You say, how do you know, Pastor? I'm going to tell you, 2008 is going to be an awesome year.
Yes.
2008 is going to be an awesome year. Not because I said it. Not because I said it. But because we're going to follow him. We've locked in. Father, today, work in our hearts. Put a shout in our spirit, Lord. Get us excited, Lord God. Lord, stir us up, Lord God, about the things that you're doing in our life, about the things, places you've taken. And Lord, take us to new vistas. Take us to new places where we can see new lands, Lord. Lift us higher, Lord, even if it's only momentary, Lord, so that we can see out into the promised land that you have for us, Lord. Lift us up so we can look over the precipice and see what's on the other side. Help us, Lord, for the joy set before us, Lord, to continue on, to persevere, to give ourselves wholly and wholeheartedly to you and to your presence, Lord God. I thank you, Lord, that you are good. I thank you that you are kind, that your thoughts to me are always good, Lord, that you are always looking for my best interest, Lord God. I thank you for that. I say that with absolute confidence. The truth of your word is that you look to see that I would be in the center of your will. Father, put me there, Lord. For these, Lord, who are here today, Father, I pray that they would hear the sound of your voice, Lord God, ringing in their prayer closet, Lord, as they enter in with thanksgiving. Lord, we give you ourselves. We give you ourselves. Transform us. May our life of service bring honor and glory to you. May we truly serve the Lord with gladness this year. We pray it in Jesus' name. Now, while your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, would you pray for those who are in this place that aren't feeling well this morning, right now? Let's begin to make intercession for those. Lord, for the sick, for the one with the stomach thing, Lord God, and the stiff neck, Lord God, the one whose back is bothering them, Lord God, we pray that in the name of Jesus. Pray, Lord God, for the person whose left knee is bothering them this morning, Lord God, and the person whose elbow is hurting, Lord God, with that shoulder pain, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray, Lord God, that you would release that, Father God. For the person who's carrying a burden in their spirit this morning, Lord, just been weeping this morning, just been weeping, I pray, Father, that you would set them free this morning. In Jesus' name, Father God, come and minister to your people. Come and minister to your people, Lord God. Hallelujah. Somebody with an eye problem is here this morning. And you want God to do something in that. In fact, if any of those things that I've called out, if that's you and you want prayer this morning, would you just come forward to this altar? We'll ask the healing team to come pray for you this morning. That person with eye problem, elbow, knee, left knee it was, neck. Hallelujah. Shoulder. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That burden, that emotional burden you've been carrying, you've been crying. Maybe even you shed some tears this morning. If that's you this morning, hallelujah. Hallelujah.